Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
All right, you guys, welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. I'm your host, Laura, and this is my friend,
Marty Greer.
Oh, my God. All right, you guys. Marty has been all over. I've nailed her feet to the floor tonight. She's not in New Orleans. She's not anywhere else. So we're going to get to talk about one of the top, what would you say, Marty, five reasons that you see dogs in your clinic?
Probably one of the top five, but one of probably the top two most urgent, because no one wants to come home to diarrhea and then go to bed thinking it'll all be fine by morning without any intervention. So it has a sense of urgency to it that scratching at your ear doesn't have.
Yeah, urgency because the dog has urgency. We've all lived that, right? So we understand the dog, your carpet and your floors have urgency. Okay, wait, I have to dip this one in. You guys out there in listener land, maybe, maybe not. If you haven't seen this, you must Google it. Marty, have you seen the sort of story that has traveled around social media half a dozen times of the Roomba and the bad potty accident?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's a tragedy, actually.
It is a tragedy. I believe that might be the title of it. It was a tragedy.
Oh, yeah.
So just imagine, everyone, the Roomba is set to go off at 2 o'clock in the morning. And unbeknownst to you, your dog has had a terrible, terrible diarrhea accident on the floor before the Roomba gets to it. And just, you know, run with that in your mind and do not read it with a beverage in your mouth because you will spit it all over the screen. So it's my prompt for everybody's day just to cheer you up. Give you a little laugh. Because diarrhea, bad potty, as we know it in my world, and diarrhea, if you're Marty and have to name everything very appropriately, it's true. Marty has to name everything very appropriately. I have to have nice names for things.
I was raised that way.
I know.
And I'm going to stick to it.
I think it's fine. I am not picking on you nor even making fun of you. I am just making a distinction between the two of us.
Yes, you are. But here's the reality is I have to be professional when I walk into the
room.
And there are times that after I've been in the room with someone either long enough or I've met them enough times that, you know, sometimes we get a little off track with professional. And I'm okay with that. But the first time I meet someone, it shouldn't be
bad potty.
Spewing
is it what you're talking about? No.
Yeah, no. No.
So here we are. We're talking bad potty today, you guys. Diarrhea, why our dogs get diarrhea, and how we can resolve that. So some of maybe the top five reasons we see a dog with GI upset and how we're going to solve that either at home or by trotting our little selves down to the vet clinic.
Right. So I think parasites are pretty common as a reason for that, especially in the young dogs, the puppies. And I think dietary indiscretion is probably number two. Diet change is probably number three. I mean, there's definitely medical conditions that are more longstanding, more serious, and those cannot be overlooked or underemphasized because they're really critical. If you have something really serious going on with your dog's GI tract, you know, intestinal lymphoma or you know, a number of these really serious diseases, lymphangiectasia and some of these things, they're bad. And cats have bad stuff that ends up in their GI tract.
Well, and there's infectious diseases, right? I mean, that's a whole separate bucket, if you will.
Yeah, if you will. So, yes.
It's going to be a little bit of a pun sort of night, y'all. Just run with this, okay?
I'm getting the feeling that we're going right down the pun path, yes. I've been up since 2 o'clock this morning.
And I felt like puns were definitely like you guys. Marty literally flew from New Orleans to Wisconsin, worked all day, gave blood, and is now talking to us here on the podcast. So have a little sympathy for my tweaking her with some puns because it's really naughty of me.
Yeah, but it's okay. It'll pay off. And I'll get you back.
It's true. You will. You always do. So, all right, let's start with the, let's say, the most common and the easiest to resolve reason for diarrhea in our pets, particularly our dog.
Yeah, I'd say dietary indiscretion is way up the list. So that's the dog that got into the garbage can, the dog that went out and ate rabbit droppings or deer droppings or whatever, especially in the snow. Those are tasty little nuggets that are sitting on top of the snow when there's nothing out there that's not white other than these.
That looks entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah. Little tiny things. And when we send in fecals, oftentimes we'll pick that up. But the dietary indiscretion of the dogs just not eating the right thing is definitely a thing. I had a client a number of years ago that came in. It was a father and daughter that came in with their dog and the dog was sick. And I went through the whole, you know, what did the dog get into? What did the dog eat? What do you feed? Have you had a diet change? Have you had a water change? You know, the whole thing. And I'm asking these questions. And the daughter says, well, we run a catering business. And so I fed the dog some scalloped potatoes with ham. And the father looks at her and goes, oh no, you did too? So this dog had taken full advantage of the fact that neither of them had talked.
And definitely didn't tell that it had been right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, you see the commercials on TV for the dog with the empty bowl. And I'm like, yeah, my dogs think their bowl is always empty and they're always starving. So they're always going to look at you like,
Nobody has fed me in days.
In days. I have cobwebs growing in my stomach. You must feed me. So I just laugh and think, oh, yeah, these dogs know how to work yet. And they're really good at it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the steak that you were thawing on the counter, you know, that box you have on your countertop or hanging in your kitchen that has those little buttons and a little keypad and a little door that opens and closes. That's not really a microwave. That's really where you hide. Yes, it's a vault. It's a food vault to keep the dog from eating the fish you were thawing out or the steak you were thawing out, or the loaf of bread that you have rising on the counter or the food that you just
bought. The butter dish. That's where the butter dish lives, just in case anybody was wondering. That's where the butter
except
dish lives.
If it's physically in front of you during dinner and then it goes back into the microwave. The groceries that you ran one bag in and then you ran back out to the car to get a couple more and you come back and you're like, you know, I swore I bought a pound of butter. The dog's like
that entire bag of Oreos. Okay. So dogs are very naughty and can get themselves in trouble without really understanding that they've gotten themselves in trouble. And then they will have GI upset and they will have some level of diarrhea from mild to explosive that we don't want to really detail here on a podcast because, you know, people got sensitive stomachs like me. So when you see or encounter this sort of a thing, is there an easy solution at home for just the dietary indiscretion concept?
There is. The question is, how long do you want to wait for the dietary indiscretion to resolve? Because sometimes if you wait it out yourself, it may be 3 to 5 days. And if the dog's having 12 stools an hour, yeah, that's not going to go well. You're going to spend a lot of time opening and closing the door, and hopefully it's not winter, because otherwise you're going to be either walking back and forth to the door with your jacket on, or you'll be just sitting in the yard waiting for the dog. If it's June and it's nice weather, maybe it's not so terrible. So yes, the first thing you can do is consider contacting your veterinarian and say, is there something I can do to speed this up? Some veterinarians and you may have a good enough relationship that they're comfortable sending medication with you. Most of the time, they're going to say, we need to see you. We need to bring in a fecal sample and have it tested for parasites. And so you'll kind of start down that path. So yes, there are things you can do. It can be a bland diet. It can be boiled chicken and rice. It can be boiled hamburger and rice. And we boil that so all the fat goes away. Right. And then you can mix it with rice, which helps to kind of add some form to the stool. Some people do sweet potatoes. You know, there's a variety of things that dogs will eat and that will help them feel better. Scrambled eggs. There's a lot of things that are really easy to digest and really easy on their tummy. You can definitely do a probiotic. And if you don't have access to probiotics right away, you can go to just some kind of yogurt or kefir. Those are appropriate things. The dogs and we don't have exactly the same flora in our GI tracts, but, you know, it's a place to start. And then, of course, you want to make sure they're getting plenty to drink, because if they're losing a lot of fluid through their bowel, then we don't want to have a situation where they dehydrate. Now, if they're vomiting, that's a whole different conversation. The urgency of taking a dog in for vomiting is much greater than the problem with diarrhea. The diarrhea is mostly my carpet, my floor. Those things are suffering. But when it gets to the point of vomiting as well, those need a much earlier intervention, especially if the dietary indiscretion included underwear, socks, TV remotes, all the things that smell like you are the things that the dogs like to eat the most. So the things you handle a lot or your undergarments are very appealing. Yes. So TV remotes and cell phones are very popular because your
iPads
scent is on.
Bad. One important side note that I think we need to always remember, if we're serving our dogs yogurt, we should be serving them plain yogurt and definitely not any of the no sugar yogurt, because it has artificial sweetener and that can be poisonous. Yes.
If it's xylitol, yes. Most of the time we don't see xylitol in yogurt. We see it in medications and over-the-counter supplements. We see it in candies and sugarless gum and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. People reported in peanut butter. I've yet to find a jar of peanut butter that has xylitol in it. But I shop at the Piggly Wiggly. So I'm not at the high-end grocery stores that some of the people might be shopping at. Like Whole Foods is not in my world. Mm-hmm. Piggly Wiggly is in my world. And that is not a joke. You've been there.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. So diarrhea from dietary indiscretion, diarrhea from there's no dietary indiscretion, and maybe it's a young dog, maybe we're thinking about an internal parasite or a water or food change when you bring your new puppy home, right? You've come home with your new puppy from the breeder or the shelter or wherever you got your dog, and you've started feeding them your food and serving them your water. And those are very different. And so can we talk about what that entails for these little guys?
Yeah, there's a lot of triggers with that. So I encourage people to bring along a bottle to take home water from the place that the dog came from so that they don't have a water change. And of course, you want to try to buy the same food that they were eating before. If you don't have time to do it, then you may just want to take a small Ziploc bag of the food so that you can make that transition a little bit easier. And veterinarians have, you know, not just great drugs, but we have great food that can really help the diarrhea to resolve more quickly as well. And things like ID, intestinal diet ID, and Purina's EN diet, all the prescription foods, their diarrhea will go away on average 3 days more quickly. You don't put them on drugs. You don't do anything else. You just change the food to one of those foods. And people are like, but I thought I wasn't supposed to do a sudden diet change. Well, honey, you've already got as bad a diarrhea as you possibly could. So let's get this under control with this food. And that really does create a resolution 3 days faster. So I think that's really important. And then you also want to make sure that you're answering the questions that your veterinarian is asking you really specifically. What is the character of the stool? Is it bloody? Is it watery? Is it just soft? You know, we try not to use food terms to describe the quality of the stool, but my radiologist says, is it pick upable? So can you pick it up in tall grass with one hand, or is it like a puddle? And if they say we need to bring a stool sample in, I have sent people out in the yard with a plastic spoon and said, scoop up what you can. So, you know, there's no other way to get it. And they're like, well, I couldn't pick it up. Well, don't use your good silverware. Just saying, you know, use a plastic spoon, because then you don't feel bad about throwing it away. So those are important. And then the other really important question is, how many times a day is the dog having a stool? If they're having a stool two or three times a day, that usually indicates that it's small bowel diarrhea. If they're having 12 stools a day, 15 stools a day, that's more likely to then be large intestinal diarrhea, which makes a difference how we diagnose, how we treat, what we do with these diarrheas, and how severe is it? Do we need to get the dog on fluids? Are they okay to be at home? You know, there's things like hemorrhagic gastroenteritis, which are, they can be fatal in a very short period of time. That's when they bleed into their GI tract, and it can wipe them out almost overnight. So these are not things that veterinarians take lightly, but the tricky part is to be able to get home from work, find it, call your vet, get in before they close and have all this stuff happen, because many veterinary clinics are closing at about the time people walk in the door from work or
and
school.
So, and they're booked the next day. So, you know, the important question is, can we manage it ourselves, or do we need to get in the ER, get somewhere to get it managed. So I'm trying to, you know, have people be able to make some of those decisions, right, or at least have things to think about in those decisions.
Right. And if you can't scoop up the diarrhea, at least photograph it, because then we have some idea of what it looks like. And people will say bloody. Bloody is sort of a broad description. The character of the stool can be pretty broad. I had a client that came in a couple of years ago, and he brought his little dog in, and he had a photograph of the dog's stool. And I get a lot of these pictures. Like, a lot of clients like to send them to me, like, you know, what do you think this is? What do you think this might be? Should I come in? Am I okay? So I look at this photograph, and the stool, it's this nice little dog log laying on the grass, and next to the stool is a ruler. And I've had a lot of pictures of stools sent to me, but I've never had one with a ruler in the photo. And I looked at this guy and I said, okay, what's with the photograph? And he says, oh man, he says, I'm a retired cop. I said, of course you are. You were collecting evidence. I got it. Now I understand. So I have now asked my client to be elevated to a new level, put something in the photo that I could, like a quarter or a ruler or a pen, something that I can use as a frame of reference so I can see how much are we talking about? He was sort of embarrassed. I'm like, I think this is really funny. This is great.
Fantastic. Great
ammunition.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
So when we see diarrhea, we're looking at consistency. We're looking at color, right? You know, is it color? Gray? Is it black? Is it got blood in it? And having experienced a dog with a very sensitive stomach and a very negative reaction to canned food added to her bowl to get her to eat while traveling, can we talk about blood in the stool caused by irritation to the system versus more extreme situation?
Right. And we see a lot of blood in the stool. If it's a little fleck of blood or a couple little flecks, it's not terrible. I don't get too excited about that. If it's pretty bloody, then I do get more concerned. It could be something more serious. It could be hemorrhagic gastroenteritis. It could be parvovirus. It could be a lot of things. And by the way, parvo, there's a new treatment for parvo that's been on the market a couple of years. That's an IV monoclonal A antibody. So if you hear the word your puppy has parvo, please find a veterinary clinic in your area that has this drug, because you can give it and it's immediately life-saving. So yes, we want to know the character. We want to know the volume. Is there mucus? Is there blood? You know, what exactly are you seeing? So those are really important things. So that's where the photographs can really be helpful to be able to just kind of frame it so that it's easier for us. And most of the time, your veterinarian is going to want to have you bring a stool sample in, because we can do some pretty amazing and really advanced testing on stools now. We used to look at the stool after it was put in a salt solution under the microscope. We'd look at the eggs that would float to the top. Well, now we have things called KeyScreen and these other really sophisticated panels that do not just the flotation, but they also do ELISA testing. They do all these other things. So when I get a KeyScreen panel back, it may have 20 or 25 different organisms on it. So it's no longer roundworm, hookworm, tapeworm, or whipworm. It's the whole thing. And it's actually really pretty helpful, because now we have a lot more information to go on. The other thing that we send all of our fecals out, because A, my staff likes not having to do them. It's a thankless job to read fecals. Yeah. But B, we get all this information, and I'll see at least once a day, I will get a stool sample back that says Imuria, which it's one of the types of coccidia. We have Isospora and Imuria. And now there's a new name for Isospora, but it'll say Imuria. And then in parentheses behind it, it will say, but not a parasite of the dog. Clearly, this dog has been practicing coprophagia, which is the nice word for your dog went out and ate rabbit droppings or deer droppings or goose droppings or whatever happens to be available to the little furry lips that your beloved dog uses when they go out in the yard. So it's helpful to know. And I'll say to people, look, you know, it's not something we have to treat. But if you're unaware of your dog's habit, I'm just telling you, they may come in looking all happy and smiley and saying, no, I didn't do that. And yeah, they did.
They did.
We have documentation.
Ooh, yeah. Yes. One of my favorite stories was a gazillion years ago. My niece, we were at my aunt's house and we were cleaning up the yard, right? Picking up the dog poopy.
Yeah.
In the yard,
yeah.
Right? Like it was a good job for a four-year-old. And we're going through the yard and she was in charge of pointing out the piles of poopy for me. And we'd come to one and she'd point it out to me and I'm like, no, that's turkey poop. Because my aunt had turkeys that yeah. would, you know, roost on her roof. And yeah. so the image of Savannah saying, turkey poop.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a t-shirt that, I don't know if you've seen them or not, but there's a t-shirt you can buy it oftentimes at nature centers and national parks and stuff that have all these little diagrams of
yes.
in a grid with yeah. different kinds of poop. So you can identify the species because... Right. Goat droppings are different than deer droppings. You
they
know,
are.
Mountain goats don't
yeah.
look like deer, and
yeah,
and
do.
Buffalo
yeah,
looks different. Than, so it's very educational, and I
scat.
Think all
we call that scat
that.
In the wildlife
nice
world.
One.
Yes,
yeah,
that's what
nice
we call it in the wildlife world. We call that scat, and you can identify the creature by identifying its droppings.
If you pick up some of the things like owl scat or snake yeah. scat, you can see what they've been eating,
mm-hmm.
which is probably a bridge too far.
Bear scat? I mean, I'm just saying. I'm a wilderness
yeah.
girl. What can I say? It's a thing.
Exactly.
Okay, back to not scat. Back to puppy diarrhea, doggy diarrhea. And I think because it is an inconvenience, it is uncomfortable for the dog. It is something that people notice and pay attention to. Mm-hmm. And so of the times, let's give people kind of a scale. Of the times that someone is in your clinic or calling your clinic and says, my dog has diarrhea, how many of those are earth-shatteringly right now need to be dealt with? And how many of them are, they ate some bunny poopies and they'll be okay?
Yeah, so it depends on the severity of the diarrhea. Mostly it depends on how the dog looks. Mm-hmm. If the dog is bounding around the house or bounding around the yard, you're probably okay. If right. the dog looks like they feel pretty terrible, that would be a trigger for me to say, yeah, you need to go in sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. It's volume, it's character. If there's a lot of blood, it's going to be more concerning than if there's just a little fleck of blood. People flip out over one like right. little tiny drop of blood. And I'm like, calm down, you know, it's okay. So really, it depends a lot on how the dog looks, how long they've been sick, a lot of those things. And then, you know, there's the people who say, well, beyond yogurt and beyond a bland diet, what else can I do? And the answer is, it depends. I never use Imodium. I personally have had very bad experiences with Imodium. Yeah. I see about half of the dogs that we give it to end up vomiting secondarily. So I don't think making your dog with diarrhea start to vomit is a really good idea. Veterinary kaopectate, kaolin and pectin, is a great mm-hmm. product. It's a nice mm-hmm. thing to have around. They sell it at the farm stores. You can buy a gallon of it for $12. It'll last you the rest of your life because you'll mm-hmm. never need that much. Mm-hmm. But they don't sell it in small bottles because it's in the cow department or cow or horse department. The problem is with Pepto-Bismol, there's two problems with Pepto-Bismol, or the human kaopectate. Human kaopectate is actually now Pepto-Bismol. It is no longer kaolin and pectin. The front of the bottle still says kaopectate, but the back of the bottle says salicylic acid, which metabolizes into aspirin. And we don't need to be giving that to our dogs, especially if there's blood in their stool. We're just going to make them bleed even more. So that's concerning. The other concern is if you give the liquid, it's not too bad. But if you give the tablet, I'm just going to tell you, this is a little known fact in veterinary medicine. If you give the tablet and then you go to the vet clinic and they take an x-ray of your dog when the tablet is still in their stomach, it looks like a quarter, a foreign body. It looks like a piece of metal. And your veterinary clinic may take your dog to surgery saying, this dog has a foreign body. When if you just gave them good information when you came in and said, and by the way, I gave it Pepto-Bismol. And if you don't believe it, take the bottle of Pepto along and let them x-ray the tablet next to the dog. You don't have to take a separate x-ray, but if you lay it on the table next to the dog and you can see the Pepto-Bismol tablet, I'm telling you, they show up on x-ray.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that you want to find out $5,000 into the situation where you spent that much money to take out a tablet of Pepto-Bismol, which you gave because the dog was not feeling well, and now they really feel bad because they had unnecessary surgery.
How do you feel? One of my common reactions to a dog that has diarrhea or, you know, any kind of a GI upset, I'll just pull food and I just won't feed them for that next meal and hold off. Just give their stomach a minute. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to starve to death. I promise.
No. And it's a really good way to slow down diarrhea. But when my daughter was really little, she had what children have, was she had diarrhea. And I called the doctor's office and they said, don't feed her, just give her Pedialyte. And she got so hungry, she went over and was rifling through the diaper bag looking for some kind of scrap of food. So, you know, just like your puppy is sitting there looking at you with big brown eyes, looking very sad because you're missing a meal. The same thing happens with the kids and the dogs. So you can give Pedialyte to dogs. They make electrolyte solutions for dogs that work really, really well. Revival makes one called Puppylyte. They make one for cats called Kittenlyte. There's some great products on the market. So these are some of the things that you probably want to just have available to you. Right. You don't need a ton of it. There's a product called Under the Weather. There's a lot of them out there. But when you need them and they're at Amazon or the catalog company and you can't get an Amazon delivery for 2 days, it's not going to help you much. So there's a few things that you probably just want to kind of have around the house. A can or two of the intestinal diet for diarrhea, a little bit of Pepto-Bismol, a little bit of probiotic. These are just things that a well-prepared pet owner, especially if you have more than one dog, because if you have two dogs or four dogs, it quadruples the chances that, because not only are they all having diarrhea, but they're all going out together and saying, you eat that first. No, Mikey didn't like it. I'll eat it. So, you know, you start thinking the dogs do these things, egging each other
groups.
On. Hold my beer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dogs and hold my beer is a real thing. That is a fact. Yes. Okay, so we did touch on one thing that I know is a very common question in the world of doggy owners, coprophagia, and how do we stop the poop eating?
Whether it's deer
pooping or their own pooping or any of the pooping. Pooping should not be going in people's mouths, and I'm just saying.
Yeah, so unfortunately, it's pretty hard to get rid of that. There's a product called Forbid. There's a product called Coprophagia. I mean, coprophagia, that's exactly what it means. Phagia means to eat, and copra, So even the products that are labeled for that are not terribly effective. You can try booby trapping the yard by going out and putting Tabasco sauce on.
I had a dog that thought I had provided him with condiments on his dinner.
Yeah, because some
and
of them
I did
like
exactly that.
Yeah. So you have to be aware, and it's pretty much, you've got to just really be attentive to what the dog is doing in the yard. The other problem is, and I've heard behaviorists talk about this, is if you go out in the yard and you pick up the dog's stool right in front of them, that then they're like, oh, this is really valuable. I need to run over there and eat it faster. So yeah, there's a lot that's wrong with this. You can go out in the wintertime and pick it up. I've gone through the yard and kicked things loose because it's frozen. And sometimes it's so frozen, it won't even kick loose out of the snow. So, you know, we've all had great fun doing this. But basically, if you're walking the dog on a leash and you have your poop bag, you're going to pick up right after the dog goes anyway. But if the dogs are just out wandering around in the yard and you have wildlife and you have other dogs and you have that stuff happening, it's a problem. Some dogs like it better frozen. Some dogs like it better warm right out of the dispenser. So there's just so many variables to this. And if there was a good answer, if there was one product.
I'm going to tell you right now, the way you make $1 million is find one of these. Closest I have ever come was meat tenderizer, like papaya. I had heard that when I was having this. I mean, I had Nikita. It was the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life, that dog. I doctored every bit of poopy in the yard with Tabasco, like gallons of super hot Tabasco. And he thought I had provided him with condiments for his meal. And the closest thing I ever found to being successful was a papaya-based meat tenderizer kind of concept. It wasn't perfect, but that did at least make a tiny little bit of difference. But
right. And it's typically got to be in the stool of the dog that the stools are being eaten from.
Yes.
And so if you have one dog, it's easy. You just put it in their food. If you have multiple dogs and you have to figure out, are they eating everybody's stools? Are they eating some of them? So you can very easily put those kinds of products in their food. Mm-hmm. So it's meant to come out tasting bad. And most things that I send home with dog owners, I have tasted. I've tasted the toothpaste. I've tasted the medications. I've tasted the supplements. I am not going to find out how papaya digested in the stool is going to come out. So I'm just taking the people's word. If the
word of God, you're trying to kill me here right now.
This was your topic, not mine. So just remember, I'm not trying it out.
No, we are not tasting it. So there you go. Anybody out there in listener land has the $1 million answer to the poopy eating dogs in our lives that we all think are the most disgusting thing ever. And usually they're dogs with beards and they want to come share it with you.
Right. Right. They want to come lick your face right after they're outside. And people say, oh, dogs' mouths are really clean. I'm like, no, no, they're not. You know, so the sort of the standing joke is, you know, people worry about, oh, they dropped a pill on the floor. I shouldn't give it to the dog now. It's their dog's medication. They dropped it on the floor. I'm like, yeah. Or they buy water purifiers. Right. Why are we purifying the water for a dog that goes out and eats this stuff? Is that really necessary? Bottled water? They're eating poop, folks. Do you need to have purified water for a dog? If you do and you feel strongly about it, I'm not going to talk you out of it.
Yeah, but it's fine.
Keep in mind.
Just know.
Keep in mind what your dog is doing out there.
Oh, okay. Well, that was, as they might say, a sort of disgusting topic.
Indeed. So what do we do if the basic fecal doesn't find us an answer and the dog is still having problems and you've done a diet change and all this stuff? There's just a lot that you can do. I mean, there are definitely long-term prescription diets that you can put the dog on. There's probiotics that your veterinarian can prescribe, and not all probiotics are created equal. So please use one that your veterinarian is recommending. Things like Purina Fortiflora are definitely a better quality product than some of the others that are on the market. And if you've got these ongoing problems, you do need to see a veterinarian. Don't just go to the cabinet and pull out the metronidazole and think that metronidazole is going to solve every issue that you've ever had, because that's just not the way it works. We are overusing antibiotics, and that is an antibiotic in the veterinary world. So don't just self-medicate your dog. If the probiotic's not cutting it, the one you have, or a bland diet for a day or two isn't cutting it, or the dog is really sick, you need to go in. Sometimes we are doing ultrasounds. Sometimes we're doing other fecal testing. There's all kinds of stuff. And there's a liver fluke that lives in the Colorado Valley. I'm just going to throw this out there. Because someday somebody's going to
listen
to this.
This is another random one, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's totally rando. But it was diagnosed like in the last year or two. It's pretty new. And on x-ray, if you x-ray the dogs that have this diarrhea, because it's relentless diarrhea, their GI tract looks bright white. It doesn't look like a normal GI tract on an x-ray. And it's pretty much the Colorado River Valley is where they've found the vector for this liver fluke. So if you're in that area downstream, you know, Colorado and downstream from that toward the southern tier of states, you need to get in and talk to your veterinarian and see if this is a possibility, because there is a way to test for it. So if your dog's diarrhea is not getting better and they've done the fecal in-house at your veterinary clinic, ask if they can send it out. Ask what other tests can be done. You know, ask a lot of these questions, because you don't want to end up going to a surgery to do intestinal biopsies for something that could have been resolved more easily.
And quickly, we're sort of to the end of our time. And tell me if I'm wrong, but my understanding, most of the time, diarrhea is not an indication of a food allergy, right? Like, my dog is not having diarrhea because it's allergic to chicken. Or am I wrong?
Yeah, it can be, but usually that's not the most predominant symptom. And it's always important, too, if the dog is also having vomiting and diarrhea, which started first. If vomiting started first, I worry a lot more than if diarrhea started first and progressed to vomiting. So these are all really, they sound like they're not important questions, but the nuances of this are really important, that your veterinarian or your veterinary technician is asking the right questions and going down the right treatment and diagnostic path, because you don't want to just throw something at the dog and then wonder why the dog isn't getting better. And there's some pretty great little tricks veterinarians have for some of these chronic issues, but you know, you need to start with, we've talked about zebras in the past. You need to start with your horses.
Yeah. We're not going to get to zebras for a little while when it comes to diarrhea, I think. So
there's a lot of horses for diarrhea.
Okay. All right. There you go, guys. Horses, not zebras for tonight. All right, Marty, get some sleep. NOLA was good to you, man.
It's hard to go to bed early in NOLA, especially during
Did you get
festival.
like to go to the music and the French Quarter and all the great places, right?
Yeah, it was their French music festival, which I guess is about half the size of Mardi Gras. It was pretty great. But I will say we went to the National Jazz Park. I don't know exactly what it's called, but oh man,
it's amazing.
It's this beautiful little gem in the middle of New Orleans near the French Quarter. And not only did we see great music there, but they also, the last band of the night, were all employees of the National Park System that worked together.
Oh my God.
The number of musicians that live in New Orleans is amazing. It's like Nashville, you know, it's crazy.
Right.
But it was so fun to see this group of people that work together, then jam and really have a great time. And it was just, it was this little gem that our National Park Service has for us that I didn't know existed. So if you get to the French Quarter, find this little place. It's really cool.
Very cool. All right. Thanks, Marty. You have yourself a good night's sleep is my suggestion.
That won't be hard.
Okay, good.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are. In the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog. And we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc., sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.